something from the Bible reading that we've been doing, and tonight is no exception. So if you've been reading it, I'm thinking about tonight, 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11, I believe that was one of the chapters that we had today. And in 1 Kings 11, the word heart is repeated three times. You know, the number one killer in the Western world is what? Heart disease. Number two is cancer and so forth. But heart is really important. And it's important spiritually as well as physically. And it's repeated three times. And I want you to think about that tonight, the importance of your heart tonight, spiritually speaking. Your heart is your inner life. It's that part of you that people can't see because it's your own thoughts, your own feelings and desires and plans and goals that you have inside of you, that God knows what you're thinking about. God knows what you desire in your heart, and you know it. And that word heart is repeated three times in 1 Kings 11, verse 4. It represents, Jesse, your true inner life. What's going on inside of you? So it determines, your heart determines what you're really going to do this week, what you're really going to do this month, what you're really going to do this year. That's why your heart is so important, because it determines your destiny, really. It determines the direction of your life. And God knows what's in your heart. And you know what's in your heart. But others not necessarily. Amen? That's why we're not to judge another person's heart or their motives quickly. This chapter in 1 Kings 11 has to do with the heart of a man called King Solomon. King Solomon. He was the wisest man that ever lived. And so tonight I want to take for the subject of the message, actually Solomon's own counsel. You might say with the Lord, what the Lord said, physician, heal thyself. Because Solomon gave this counsel, but in this passage of Scripture in 1 Kings, he didn't follow his own counsel. Have you ever done that? You've taught a Sunday school class, you didn't follow it. You preach to somebody about something and you didn't follow it. Dr. Ware used to say, I don't want to be a castaway to my own preaching, my own doctrine. It's one thing to have the wisdom and to give the right counsel. It's another thing for you to take your own medicine. And Solomon, unfortunately, had the medicine, but he failed at this point to take it. And so the medicine is found in Proverbs 4, verse 23. I'll read it. It says there, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I wonder, how are your heart tonight? How have you been doing with your heart during this summertime? How have you been doing with your heart this week? Have you been keeping your heart with all diligence? I have worked at the Bajeski spearheaded on our landscaping around our house. And when I see weeds in there, it rebukes me because I think of all the work they put into that. So I get out there, my hands and knees, and I'm pulling weeds. And I say, I'm not going to let their work go in vain. They started this, I'm not going to let it go in vain. We're just pulling that stuff out of there. And it looks good. It looks good. I see more I got to do, but it looks good. You know, how about your heart maintenance? I try to walk every day. I try to walk every day. I walk a mountain walk and keep my heart going, keep that pulse going, and keep that cardiovascular system going, and make sure that maintains a good heart. Somebody said if you just have a 1/2 hour a day aerobic exercise, that will just maintain your heart, but it won't improve it. You got to go beyond that to improve it. So I try to go 1 hour every day in mountain walking for my heart, you see, for my heart. Because it's important. But how about your heart spiritually speaking? And The name of the message tonight is Keep Your Heart. Keep your heart. Don't let your heart get sick. Don't let you have a heart that is hardening of the arteries. Don't have a heart like my grandfather on my mother's side. He died about 50 years of age. Good looking guy. He looked like Errol Flynn. He had a nice physique and he was a neat looking man. But he died about 50 years of age and of the hardening of his arteries, the heart. And I'm saying keep your heart. And I want to say three things about that tonight. Number one, by keeping your altitude. I want you to notice verse 9 of chapter 11 of 1 Kings. Look there, chapter 11, verse 9. It says, and the Lord was angry with Solomon. Notice that. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. You know what? God doesn't like it when you don't weed the garden of your heart. God doesn't like it when your heart is turned away from your first love. You know, Brother Steve Manning, you like to say this. What's the one thing that God wants you to do? You think of all that God has done for us. What's the one thing he wants you to do? And Brother Steve Manning likes to say whenever I'm out soul winning with him, just love him back. Just love him back. My wife doesn't appreciate it if I don't appreciate all the things she does for me. She does a lot of things for me. If I don't notice them, that hurts her. You know, God every day is doing things for you. But when's the last time you loved him back and loved on him and thanked him for what he's done? You see, we can, Brother Z prayed it tonight, we can have the right doctrine, we can make it to church services, make it to soul winning, go through the motions, but really we're sick in our heart. Really, we've left that first love. Really, we are not in love with the Lord. And my, oh my, you're missing out on something. Sometimes married couples, they go through the motions. They do what they need to do. Each member of the team, you know, the wife does her part, the husband. But what about the love? Where is that, you see? And the Lord wants you to keep your heart, and he wants you to keep your altitude. And the Bible said that the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord. In other words, he had lost his altitude. And the Bible says, and it makes the comment that it is exacerbated by the fact that the Lord had appeared to Solomon twice. You say, what are you talking about? Now, he talked to him more than twice. He talked to him through prophets, you know, and of course through the law of God. And he talked to him through prophets that went to him. But he had two times when he literally appeared to him in a theophany where Solomon face to face talked to God. And you might not have a face-to-face meeting, but the Bible says, whom having not seen ye love. And I like what Winston Smith used to say, that when we got in prayer meeting here at Scranton Revival, that the Lord is so real, I feel like I can just reach out and touch the Lord. And that's the way it should be. Whom you've never seen him physically, but you love him. And Solomon had seen him. He saw him first when he first became king. And the Lord appeared to him in a theophany, in a dream. But the dream was so real, he saw the Lord. And the Lord talked to him. And the Lord asked him what he wanted. And the Lord said, I'm pleased with you, Solomon. I'm pleased because you didn't ask for a long life. I'm pleased you didn't ask for your enemies' lives. I'm pleased you didn't ask for great riches, but I'm going to give you great riches. He said, you asked for wisdom. Was God angry at Solomon then? No, he was not. Is perhaps the Lord angry with you because your heart has been turned away from the Lord? You've lost altitude spiritually. so you're not flying high. And that's my first point, is keeping your altitude. Solomon started out well, but he lost altitude. Churches can do that. We can do that very easily if we don't keep our heart with all diligence. And I'm saying that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time right after he built the house of God up there on Mount Moriah. He completed the temple. God's glory showed up in the temple. And not only that, God appeared in a theophany to Solomon. And he talked to him. And he told him that if you just walk with me, Solomon, and you stay close with me, and you have faith in me, and you love me exclusively, Solomon, he said, you will be blessed. Your kingdom will be blessed. But he said, if your heart gets turned away from me, Solomon, you're going to have trouble. You know, I'm not saying all trouble is because your heart is turned away from the Lord, but sometimes God sends trouble into your life. You say, why? Because he's jealous. I've heard men say, you know, their wife is cheating on them and they're not going to take care of her while she's out there cheating. Seems like the court system is set up in the United States, you know. People can commit adultery and then be rewarded for it. That ought not to be. That ought not to be. You see, but our country screwed up in the cabasis. That's why these things happen. But I'm just saying, God is a jealous God. When Gomer left Hosea didn't keep sending her money. No. She had to come back and come to her senses and realize. And sometimes I'm saying God lets that kind of thing happen in your life because you're flying high, but then you lose altitude and God lets you crash and burn. Amen? He lets you crash and burn so you'll get back to him. But better we don't get away from him in the first place. I'm saying keep your altitude tonight. Don't miss it. Keep your heart by keeping your spiritual altitude and keep flying high for the Lord. And I'm saying your heart can lose altitude. And when it does, you may have to crash and burn. And perhaps tonight the message is, hey, pull up soon right now. You're losing altitude. And if you're not careful, you're going to crash and burn. But pull up. Good. Pull up, get your altitude up. And you know, we've got what we need to fly high. Amen. Here's what it says to the New Testament believer in Colossians 3:1-3. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know what that is? That's what we call a fulfilled condition. If ye then be risen. It's not, well, if, and maybe you're not. No, every one of you who are born again believers, you are risen with Christ. It is what we call a fulfilled condition. You are risen with Christ, and because you're risen with Christ, listen to me, your real life is not on the earth. This earth is temporary. The things of this earth that distract us, the things of this earth that dishearten us, listen, we are flying above that. Why? Because we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And so if that's the case, and it is the case for every believer, therefore you set your affections on that. You revolve your life around that. You get into that and realize that's what it's all about. I remember years ago, I believe it was February of 2001, if I have it right, Dr. Jack Hiles had a heart attack and passed away. And I remember going with Brother Donnie Snyder, and he and I went out to Hammond, Indiana. My daughter was in the church then, my oldest daughter, Amy. She was singing in the choir and had an apartment there. We stayed overnight in her floor, and we went to the funeral of Dr. Jack Hiles. And they had two funerals, one for the church and then one for the whole nation. And I remember seeing his body up there. It was just right like it would be, right on the platform. And everybody got to go by. They went by for 36 hours. People from Chicago, all over the world, just kept going by his body. He wasn't there. I remember thinking, that's just a little shell there. It's nothing there much. He wasn't there. It wasn't the body that made the man the man. It's because of the man knew. He had altitude, man. He flew high. He flew above this world because he knew he was seated with Jesus Christ, and he was excited about that. And I remember his son had a message, and the different speakers spoke at the national funeral, you know, one after the other. And that message is the one I didn't forget, Dave Hiles. And he said, you know, he said, I flew out of Texas to get here. And he said, when I flew out of Texas, it was raining, foggy. He said, but we got up in our jet until we saw the sunshine. And the clouds were below us. Then he said, we descended into Chicago, and Hammond was just full of rain and a sorry mood. He said, but up above the clouds, the sun is still shining. And he said, that was the key to my dad's life. He flew always above the clouds. And he told other people what he was seeing above the clouds. Let me ask you, are you losing altitude tonight? Are you letting the circumstances get you down? Are you letting the conditions get you down? Are you putting your focus there? Because God wants you to realize that you can and should fly above the clouds. That is where our pilot is. That is where our Savior is. And the Bible even says this about our future. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, who's my life right now? Everything going on in this world that's passing away? No, my life is Christ. And when Christ returns, we're going to be caught up by the angels to meet him in the air. That's where our real life is. That's why it said, set your affection there. Keep your altitude there. Fly above the clouds. And tell people what you're seeing there from that standpoint. You know, I've shared this before, but I remember a preacher saying this years ago to me in chapel when I was in college. There was an Eastern Airlines flight, number 401. And it was flying from New York City to Miami, Florida. And I remember December 29, 1972, that multi-million dollar aircraft was flying now into Florida, getting ready to land in Miami. They were getting close to their destination now, having come from New York City. Somehow, there was a male function of a $15 light bulb in the cockpit. Thank you. And the assistant was working on the light bulb. Then the co-pilot got working on the light bulb. Even the pilot got working on the light bulb. They were all getting their heads together to figure out how to replace or how to get this $15 light bulb running. They had the plane on automatic pilot. Somehow they bumped the automatic pilot. And while they were trying to fix that light bulb, they were losing altitude regularly. By the time they discovered how low they had gotten, it was too late to pull it up, and the whole plane crashed in the Everglades, losing all the lives on that plane and losing that aircraft all over a $15 light bulb. And I submit to you and I that we can do that very thing. You can do that very thing. You can get caught up in things that are in your mortal body, things that are sinful, things that are not the best, things that are not the most important. You can get all caught up in that and all distracted by that, all the while you're losing altitude. All the while you're not setting your affection and your automatic pilot on things above, but you're losing altitude and you're getting sucked down. And it's time to pull up tonight. It's time to get back to your first love tonight. Hey, it's time to get back to the first works tonight. What are the first works? Faith, where you take in from the Lord everything you need by the way the Lord will give you. You can go to Him for grace. You can go to Him for every spiritual need. You can go to Him for every physical need. You can go to Him with every problem that you're facing. There's not one problem that He means that you're going through that should be between you and the Lord. I think of Brother Jose. He's got some major challenge. But whatever it is, it's meant to get you closer to the Lord. It's never meant to come between us and the Lord. How's your altitude tonight? Are the problems and the pressures pressing you closer? Martin Luther said it. He said, they said, what are you going to do today? He said, oh, I'm so busy. I've got so many things to do. I'm going to spend the first 2 hours with my lovely Lord. I'm just going to be with Him. Sometimes people try to get you into false guilt. Why? Even me as a preacher, sometimes I'll cluster myself to get in the Word and feed the flock. And they try to get me. I say, no. Nothing's going to keep me from the first thing. I want to keep my altitude. Amen. And if you're losing your altitude, pull it up. Get it up. I mean, that's what's needed. And so tonight, keep your heart, number one, by keeping your altitude. Number two, by keeping your avoidance. Your avoidance. Look with me at verse 4, the first part of chapter 11, verse 4, part A. It says, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. Listen to me. It said Solomon was old. I think of one of my heroes, Dr. Wendell Kempton, and one of my best friends, Charles Ware, went to an older man in the Lord, Dr. Kempton, a very godly man. He says, Dr. Kempton, now you're so old now. He said, it must be a lot easier for you to serve the Lord. He said, no, it's harder. That discouraged me. I thought it was going to get easier as I get older. He said, no, it's harder. He said, you know, we tend to, as we get older, we tend to, if we're not careful, we tend to get caught up in the things of this world. And that's what happened with Solomon. He was a young man. He was in love with the Lord. He was asking for the right thing. But now he'd been in the world a while and he was getting himself wrapped up around the things of the world. And you need to keep up your avoidance of those things that will put you down. Look at verse number 5 and then 7 and 8. First of all, verse 5 says, for Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And then look at verse 7 and 8. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange or foreign wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their God. You see, Solomon couldn't avoid idolatry because he had all these wives around him. By the way, let me tell you, the person that you marry will affect you more than anything else, for good or bad. That decision is an important decision. That decision is an important decision. And I heard Dr. Kempton say this. He said to ladies, he said, you ladies, you're going to marry some of these preachers that are here. Are you going to be an exuberant blessing to push that preacher to a higher altitude? Or are you going to be excess baggage in his life? I thank God when I see ladies that I can see when their husbands marry them, they're pushing their husband to a higher height for God. And that's a blessing. But on the other hand, you don't want to pull them away. And these women were ungodly women. They didn't even know the Lord. And so what did they do? They brought their culture. They brought their religion to Solomon. And Solomon loved these women. He loved his wives, plural. And by the way, that's another thing he did wrong. He had a lot of wives. And the Bible said a king was not to multiply women. His mother had warned him, give not your strength to women. She wrote Proverbs 31, much of it. Her name was Bathsheba, a godly woman, believe it or not. Give not your heart to women. She warned him. He didn't listen. Now, what is it with you tonight? Brother Joe knows this. We went to Victory Baptist Church many years ago to see a well-known national preacher preach there in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. The pastor of the church preached a message before the well-known preacher, and Brother Joe never forgot the pastor's message. It was called, Brother Joe, avoid what you cannot resist. Brother Joe can quote that. Avoid what you cannot resist. I submit to you the reason why some of you have lost altitude is you have not avoided certain things that are making you lose altitude. And you are not going to avoid it because you're not, I should say, you're not going to be able to resist it. Because you're not doing what you need to do, and that is totally avoided. There are certain things you should not be doing at all. Because they're going to bring you into deeper problems. And they feed those desires. The Bible says, crucify the flesh with the affection. But you've been feeding them. I've often used the illustration, keep feeding that monkey bananas on your back, and that monkey, you find out, is really a gorilla. And he's grown, and now he's real big, and he's strangling you and choking you and got you down. That's what happens. Avoid what you cannot resist. Keep your heart by keeping your altitude where it is in Jesus Christ, and by keeping your avoidance of those things that make it so that you cannot resist temptation in your life, but it's going to bring you down and it's going to inflame your heart with things that are below that you should simply avoid. Let me tell you, those things, the Bible says, flee youthful lusts. Flee youthful lusts. You're not going to have this mortal body forever. You're going to pass away. But what a sad thing it is when we don't avoid those things that make us lose our heart for God. Solomon lost his first love. Solomon lost his heart for God. His heart was divided. He had all these idols, and you cannot serve two masters. You're going to either hate the one and love the other, you cannot. And so Solomon, you see, the Bible says, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul. When you get into these things, you need to realize they're cutting your love for God. They're cutting your heart for God. And if they're doing that, God is jealous. He's not pleased with that heart. And he says, you've lost altitude tonight. You have lost altitude because you haven't avoided certain things that are bringing you down. And you keep going back to those things, and they keep bringing you down. The Bible says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they've hewn out for themselves cisterns which can hold no water. How is your time with God? Do you feel not at home with God, not at home in His Word, not at home in His work, so that you're working with Him. And then tonight, He says, pull up. Set your affection on things above. And avoid those things that are feeding your flesh and cutting your love for the Lord. Keep your heart by keeping your altitude. Keep your heart by keeping your avoidance. And finally, keep your heart by keeping your all in all. Look at verse 4, the second part of it, of 1 Kings 11. You say, Pastor, where'd you get this? Out of our daily reading. You could do it too. Amen. Verse 4 says this. It says, and I'll look at the second part of it. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David, his father. You know, David got into sin with Bathsheba. But he didn't stay in that sin. He had a default position, and his default position was he loved God. He had a heart for God, unlike his predecessor, and unfortunately, unlike his successor. David was noted for his heart for God, and it continued through his life, beloved. And God wants you to keep God as your all in all. Look at verse 6 of chapter 11. It says, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not, what? Fully after the Lord. As did David his father. Are you wholehearted? Are you fully with God? Or do you love God but you also have other loves that compete and divide your heart and cut your love for God? Jesus said, I have this against you. You've left your first love. You had it. You left it. And I miss you. I miss that wonderful companionship. There are a lot of idols in this world, aren't there? They can be good things in themselves. But when they come between you and the Lord and become an idol, then it's not good. It'll cut your love. And I tell people, if you're going to get a woman, you make sure that that woman encourages you to God. Encourages you to God. That's what we need. Not somebody you got to pull all the time and pull all the time and pull all the time. That's not God's plan. So I just took it. I'm just going to stay sold out for God. And if God wants her, he'll bring her here. And that's exactly what he did. And I didn't have to leave. I'm just saying, keep the Lord as your all in all. I'm thinking of a young woman, a young wife. She shouldn't go to places where she's going to be hit upon all the time. And tempted. But stay away from that stuff. So that the Lord can be the all in all. We've got a wicked, adulterous society. And there's all kind of wickedness going on. And comparisons going on. There should be no comparison. My husband is my husband. My wife is my wife. Nothing else. No comparisons. But we got a wicked, adulterous society and adulterers. And I think of James, who was the apostle, one of the first pastors of the Jerusalem church before the Lord's half-brother James did. And even before Peter, he was the first pastoral head. James, the son of the brother of John, son of Zebedee. He said this. He said, ye adulterers, and adulteresses. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. What is it that you're looking at and reading? Is it worldly? You don't need that. You come to church, and is it any wonder it doesn't turn you on? Because you're trying to turn God on and off. You spend most of your time with the world like Solomon, with all these women and all their gods. And he didn't love Jehovah like David did. He wasn't exclusive with Jehovah. You can't play with any kind of porn and have a good wife. You're an adulterer or an adulteress. You've got friendship with the world and it's enmity with God, and you're going to lose altitude. Let me tell you, the best defense, the football player said, is an offense. Be in love with the Lord. Be wholehearted for the Lord. One of the kings of Israel by the name of Asa, he had a 1,000,000-man army come against him, and he just trusted the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm going to you. I'm casting this care upon you, this burden. Later on, when he got older, he got the victory over that 1,000,000-man army. God gave him the victory. But when he got to be an older man, he got a little smarter. He knew politics a little better. He figured out how he could win. He said, I've got money. I've got money through the temple. I'm going to take the gold out of the temple and the silver out of the temple, and I'm going to buy the Syrians to help me fight my enemies. And he did. And it was successful to a degree. But the prophet came up to him. His name was Hanani. And he went to Asa, and perhaps what he said to Asa could apply to some of you tonight. He said, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. What is that? He's your all in all. You're depending wholly and fully on the Lord. He said, herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. You see, Asa thought he was getting an advantage by using the world, by robbing God, taking things out of the temple. I've seen people do that with money. They take their money and they rob God of the tithes and offering. How foolish you are. Because when you're wholehearted for God, he'll give you everything. Don't rob God. Put him first in everything. Let him be your all in all. And you will find his grace is more than sufficient to meet every need, and he'll get the glory. And avoid those things that are going to cut your love for him, because that's the most important thing you need to keep. Do it with diligence. Weed that garden of the heart and keep your altitude where it belongs, where your real life is, where your future is, with the risen Christ. What are you doing in the graveyard? What would you think of a person that was in the graveyard digging up graves? Spending all their time in the grave. That's what you're doing when you're going back on the new life you have in Christ. May God help us to keep our heart. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. We've been talking about keep your heart tonight. Keep